Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Once again, we're certainly glad to be here, and I've enjoyed the good song service. Each and every song is blessed in my heart. Not only for the song, but to be able to sing with you. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to do that. Certainly a blessing in my heart. James chapter 4. Tonight I've got a very simple thought on my heart. Jesus said He is the way, the truth, and the life. And every time I've ever looked at that, I've looked at that as being salvation. And certainly the way to eternal life is through Jesus alone. But you know, Jesus came and He gave us eternal life. And we looked at it and said, well, I get to go to heaven. But He also came to give us life here on this earth. We are dead in sins and trespasses until we're saved. We cannot even think like God created us to think because of sin. You know, and sin separates us in every way from all that's good. You think about darkness, and the Bible says, you know, Jesus is the light, but man prefers darkness rather than light. That's us before we get saved. We prefer darkness over light. Until we trust Jesus, and once we do, we're born again. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. So not only did Jesus come, and He is the life, but He also came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So in order to have more abundant life, even here on this earth, that comes through Jesus too. It does not come through self. It does not come through my hopes and dreams. It comes through Jesus Christ alone. And so tonight, I want to preach a message along the same lines you've heard so many times. But Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit to guide you in all things. Jesus came to pay the price for our sins so that we could be saved. Once we're saved, we not only find eternal life, we find life more abundant in Him. And His way of doing that, He said, I will send you the Comforter and the Holy Spirit, and He will guide you in all things. So the Holy Spirit is here to guide us in the way of life more abundant. So when you go back and you look at the examples we have, the early church saw a great need to seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit, much more so than we do in our age. And I know everybody that goes to this church, you'd say, well, we need to be led of the Holy Spirit. But how serious are you about being completely, totally led by the Holy Spirit? The example we have in Scripture is those churches that they look to the Holy Spirit for guidance above everything else. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm going to live on this earth, I'm going to live on this earth the same way Christ lived. I'm going to show the same example Christ showed. I'm going to think like Christ thought. So I'm going to be like Christ. The only way we can do that is to be completely filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit of God. So the early church saw a great need for that leadership. Philip was led down to Gaza. He didn't think, well, I just feel like I need a change. I'm going to go down to Gaza. I'm tired of this winning souls here in Jerusalem. I'm going to go in Samaria. I'm going to go off to Gaza. I think that'll be a good move for me. But rather, he went because the Holy Spirit pointed him in that direction. So that's where life is. That's where life more abundant is, following the Holy Spirit. So he was able to go down to Gaza, win an Ethiopian eunuch. And can you imagine what that must have felt like to be living it up? To follow the Holy Spirit and to see God work in your life in such a way that you just have to stop and say, you know what, God, I've got to give you all the honor. I've got to give you all the glory for this, because I wouldn't have come to God if it hadn't been for your leadership. I wouldn't have known what to say if you had not already been working on that Ethiopian eunuch's heart. He was reading from the very message that Philip preached to him from, the same passage, that he got saved by hearing that. Only God can do that. And so whenever we totally follow the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit works in our life and we see that, that is life more abundant because we know that's not me. That's God. That's God working through me. Peter was led to go see Cornelius. Up until this time, Peter wouldn't have looked twice at a man of a different race like that. And so God prepared him. He prepared his heart by the trance that he fell into or the vision that he saw, that the sheep that came down from heaven and all manner of beast and a voice that said, "Arise, kill and eat." And he said, "Not so, Lord. I've never tasted anything that's unclean." And the Lord let him know, "What I have cleansed, you don't call that unclean. Don't, rise and eat. Kill and eat." Of course, he had to be convinced. And after all that was over, he's pondering, what is God trying to show me in this? And men at the door, knocking on his door. "I need you to come see Cornelius." Come to his house. And God has prepared him and led him. And God is in that situation from start to end to where when he was through, he just had to just bow down in awe, no doubt, that this is God. I couldn't have done this on my own. I would not have done this on my own. Peter was led there. The early church fasted together and prayed and ministered unto the Lord. And the Holy Spirit said, "Separate Paul and Barnabas for the special mission trip that I have planned for them." No, not in those exact words, but that's what took place. Those missionary journeys. It was not just Paul saying, "I think I would like to go over to Corinth. I think I would like to go to Philippi." But rather, the Holy Spirit leading him in that path. And taking those men outside of their comfort zone. Taking them away even from their home church to go out onto that field. Taking Peter out of his comfort zone to a place he would never go on his own. But God convinced him and led him and blessed him. And to realize, man, this is life. So Paul, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Stephen waxed bold, even at his own death, to be led of the Holy Spirit through an episode where he's preaching the gospel and men hate him for it, and they run on him and bite him and stone him, and there at the end to be able to look up and see the Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father and be able to be in such peace with that. Life more abundant. To be able to have so much peace. You have to say, "Lord, don't even lay the sin to their charges. I don't hold it against them. I'm ready to come on and be with you." And so, child of God, are you getting your direction from the Holy Spirit at this season in your life? We all have seasons we go through. We have the ups, we have the downs, we have the highs, the lows, we have the mountaintops and the valleys. And so we find ourselves sometimes day by day, moment by moment, in different seasons of our life. But at this season in your life, are you being led by the Holy Spirit? See, I ask you that because we are creatures of habit. You've heard that, and if you've heard it and you say, "I don't know," just stop and check yourself. We're all creatures of habit, and we get into routines. And maybe you say, "Well, I cook today, and so I'll be cooking tomorrow." Some people are in that habit. My wife, she cooks just about every day. Unless we decide to go out somewhere, she cooks just about every day. And so it's real easy. "Well, I know I cook today, so I know I'll be cooking tomorrow." And just getting in the habit, the routine. But tomorrow, the meat of the Father may be different. Remember Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of the Father which sent me." It's not time to eat right now. But wait a minute. We always eat. I mean, how many of us schedule our lunch breaks? We do things repetitive all the time. And yet Jesus, they say, "Hey, it's time to stop eating. We just come back with groceries. We've got food here. My meat's to do the will of the Father which sent me." That's not on the to-do list right now. But it's the will of the Father. And that's what's important. You know, you get up. I went to work today. I went to work Monday. So tomorrow, it'll be no different. I get up and I'm going to go to work. It'll be good tomorrow because it's good today. And so we learn because we are creatures of habit, because we do things repetitive. And again, I don't want you to misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with having a schedule. There's nothing wrong with having a plan for when you get up in the morning. But if we're not careful, what we do with that, because we get into a habit and we do things day after day, month after month, year after year, the same way, that if we're not real careful, we start leaning to our own understanding. And this is just what's good for me. This is what's good for me. This is what I do. It was God's will. You think about Joshua just a moment. Well, it was God's will for us to go take Jericho. Bound to be His will to go take Ai. I mean, that's just a little bitty city. We don't even have to take the whole army out. We'll just go and take care of them real quick. See how easy it is to just fall into that trap, that routine that, well, it's just God's will for me to do this. I know it is because that's what I always do. That's how I do things. That's on the routine. That's the next thing I've got to check off my list. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoiced in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore him to know what to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So there's your sin of omission. Those things that you know to do and you don't do. I want to deal with that thought tonight because there's some very interesting things that have come to mind lately. Do not assume that you will continue doing the same thing you always do. Lord willing, you can check off that to-do list. But listen real carefully. The Lord reserves the right to interrupt your schedule at any time. So we need to say, if it's the Lord's will, I may get up tomorrow and something upset my routine drastically. And God has the right to allow those things into our life. That's why it's so important that we're looking to Him. And even when we get those sudden things, it change everything. We go from one season to the next in life, that we are looking to the Lord. Okay, Lord, I was not expecting this, but I need to know, how am I supposed to deal with it? What do you want me to do? See, if you know to do good and do it not, it's sin. If we sat down right now to make a list of good things we could do, how many things you think we could put on that list? Do you think if we started right now and we just went through the night, we just went through the rest of the week, just 24/7 writing down things that could be good for us to do, you think we could probably get to 1 million by the end of the week? I mean, there's a lot of good that you could do. He said, if you know to do good and you do it not, it's sin. So, let's say we did 10 things on that list. We got together and we wrote down 1 million things. It would be good for any of us to do. And we did 10 things on that list every single day. We would never check that list off in our lifetime. Even though we know these things are good. So if we could never check off that list, even though we know of some good, does that mean that we're just destined to sin no matter what? that you will never be able to do all the good that you need to be doing. And so I must just be destined to be sinning all the time. Unless the only truly good thing is that good thing which the Holy Spirit leads us to do. How else can I know what's good? How do I know what's good? Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of things sound good, but is it the thing that the Holy Spirit is leading us to do? If it's not the thing that the Holy Spirit is leading us to do, then I'm not charged with that. As a pastor, one of the things of being a pastor is to visit those that are in the hospital. That's pretty common for a pastor to do. Let's say I've got a member that's going to have surgery in the morning at Forest General Hospital, and then I've got a member that's going to have a similar surgery, but it's going to be in a different state somewhere. They're both at about the same time. It would be good for me to be with one member, and it would be good for me to be with the other. It'd be impossible to be at both at the same time. So if I go see this one, but I know I should be doing good with the other one as well. Is it sin? No, absolutely not. The Holy Spirit can settle a man that this is the thing you need to do. And so it's so important we follow the Holy Spirit. It is so important that we're listening for that still, small voice that settles us. This is what you need to do at this time. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I believe we read this just a few weeks ago. Verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. There are plenty of things that are good for me to do. They are lawful for me to do. But they are... And as you look at these things that maybe... It would be good for me to do A, B, C, and D, all of these different things. And there's nothing wrong with me doing any of those things. And so certainly I wouldn't list this as a sin, any of these things as a sin. They would all be good in and of themselves. But if they are not expedient, if they do not help me get to the goal, then I can abstain from those. Paul's goal was to win Christ. Paul's goal was to live as Christ, to be a blessing to lost sinners. So it may not be expedient for me to buy and sell at this time. Nothing wrong with me buying and selling. He said, but you ought to say if it's the Lord's will. That's what you do. And don't just assume that you're going to go into a certain place and you're going to live there a year and you're going to buy and sell and get gain. Don't just assume that. It's the Lord's will, because you don't know that the Spirit of God won't lead you to do something different tomorrow. So all things are not expedient. Even though it may be lawful for you to do it, even though in and of itself it may not be what we list as a sin. If you know to do good and you do it not, it is a sin. Again, how do we know the good to do? Only by following the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can do that. It may not be expedient to serve right now, Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Thou art cumbered about much serving. But there's one thing. One thing is needful. And Mary chose that good thing, and it's not going to be taken from her. She chose that good thing. There's one thing that's needful. But I'm serving. I'm preparing a meal. I'm serving. There's nothing wrong with that, Jesus. There's nothing wrong with me doing that. Unless Jesus is telling you to do something different. Then there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with it. It may not be expedient to do 1,000 things on my to-do list when there's one thing that's needful. To know to do good. Again, I ask you this, how do we know it's good? If the Holy Spirit allows us, go for it. I know I've mentioned this so many times, but when Paul wanted to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit forbid him to go to Asia. Forbid him to go. That's an impossible thing to understand when we lean to our own understanding. That's impossible to understand. I can't understand that. And God put something on my heart to go and try to be a blessing to this person. And I wasn't even thinking about them a moment ago, but now God has put it on my heart. And then you go and say, God bless. That's impossible to understand, leaning to our own understanding. But it's vital that we do that. As God's people, that's our job. That's how we let our light shine. It may not be expedient to do the thing that I want to do. Even though it's okay, there's nothing, it's not against the law. It's not even against the law of God. And yet, it does not help me get to the goal, which is to please the Father. Our meat is to do the will of the Father just like Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is leading to go down to Gaza, we have to leave the good and do His good. It's always been a little bit hard for me to understand, Brother Freddie. Philip was preaching and people were getting saved. And God said, get up and leave. Humanly, if you lean to your own understanding, you're going to stay right where you're at. Because it makes no sense to leave while things are going so good right now. And the Lord said, get up and go down to Gaza. Only the Holy Spirit can lead a man to an Ethiopian eunuch out in the middle of nowhere whenever you're seeing souls among your own people being saved. Only the Holy Spirit knows what good you should be doing. If you're leaning to your own understanding tonight, you are usurping authority over the Holy Spirit. None of us want to be guilty of that. I certainly don't. Think about that. I know it's your job, but I think I'll step in and do it. You're usurping authority over the Holy Spirit. Give Him His rightful place. And I know you do, but there's always room for improvement for all of us. Try the spirits. Certainly do. Try the spirits. We've given the Word of God that we can try the spirits. Because sometimes you have thoughts run through your head. Well, that seemed like a good thing to do. You may be leaning to your own understanding. You may be leaning to a carnal worldview on the issue. And it may just very well be that the Holy Spirit saying, you need to get up and you need to go do what I want you to do. So try the Spirit, see if they're of God or not. And then be completely, totally submissive. It's okay to let go and just let God lead your life. Be completely submissive. Do that good thing. And how do you need to do it? The Bible says everything you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. A lot of things we do in this life is because of how others view us. What others expect out of us. And He said everything you do it heartily as unto the Lord. And not on the man. Don't worry about what everybody thinks about it. You just follow the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead you. And when we do that, that is life, and it's life more abundant. Because there's a fulfillment in your own heart just to know, to have such a peace of knowing I'm doing exactly what God wants. Even if nobody understands it, I'm doing exactly what God wants in my life in this season right now. That's for something.